Mesechtes Baba Kama, Daf Nun Tes, 10 lines to the top of Daf Nun Tes from an Aleph. And the Gemara will now go back and discuss the brisa that Abaye brought in order to bring a raya against Rava, as Rava wanted to be mechalit between a case where there was an animal that was mazik something, or what is an adama mazik. And although when evaluating the amount that a person is going to be chayiv when his animal damages something, we evaluate it based on a cheshbon that we spoke about, which is called shishim. However, in the case that the Gemara was speaking about, Ruva was mazik his friend by cutting down his palm tree, Rava wanted a paskin like the Reish Galusa did, that the person would be chayiv for the actual damage they caused. And that case, since the three palm trees that were in that sada were worth 100 zuz, therefore Rava wanted to agree to the Reish Galusa that Reuven should have to pay 33 and a third zuz. And Abaye says to Rava that although you may have a raya from a brisa where we see that if a person goes and cuts down and he destroys the unripened grapes of his friend, that the brisa paskin and it doesn't say anything about shishim. However, Abaye proves that we have another brisa that discusses an animal that is mazik someone's young trees and someone's young fruits. And over there, the brisa also says that the chum hold roin kama is yafa v'kami yafa, and they don't mention anything about shishim. And certainly, Abaye says to Rava, you would agree that in that brisa, although the brisa doesn't say shishim, however, certainly when an animal damages someone's produce, then certainly you would have to go based on the valuation method of shishim. And therefore, hachinayim b'shishim, even though b'negei adam mazik, the brisa doesn't say the lashon shishim. It really means that you're still going to evaluate based on the method of shishim. Therefore, Abaye agreed to the din of Rav Nachman, even when there's adam mazik, or like the Gemara called it niske gufay, we still have to calculate and evaluate what the person owes based on the method that we had beforehand called shishim. And at the bottom of Daf Nun Chesam Beis, the Gemara brought a machlekes between Rabbi Yossi Aglieli and Chachamim in a case where Reuven's animal ate chazes, which is not fully grown grain, and Rabbi Yossi Aglieli stated that nidim meshuyah shabai, that although Reuven's animal only ate chazes, which is not fully grown grain, we would have to wait until we see the rest of the grain of the field as to how high and how tall these grain grow, and then we will know the value of that grain, and that would be the same value that Reuven would have to pay to Shimon for the chazes that his animal ate. And as we mentioned, Rabbi Yossi Aglieli holds that we have to look at the future growth potential of the chazes. As we mentioned from Tesis, that this would not necessarily always work out as a problem for the mazik, as sometimes it could be beneficial for the mazik. And for example, prior to the time of harvest of the rest of the grain, there was some sort of a natural disaster and all of the grain get damaged and therefore it's valueless, so then Mazik would not have to pay anything because ultimately at the time of the harvest the actual chazes wouldn't have been worth anything and therefore could sometimes come out a benefit to the Mazik as well. However, the Chum say Reina Isa Kama Isi Yafa V'Kama Yafa, that right away the Chum say that we look at the chazes Basher Usham and we evaluate the full field, how much it's worth with the chazes that the animal ate and then how much the field is worth now that the animal ate the chazes, which is the standard way and the standard method that we spoke about beforehand. And certainly we have to calculate based on shishim. The machlek is between Rabbi Yisrael Pchini that said so b'shishim so, and Rabbi Yane that said taka b'shishim takavim, or Chizkiah that said kelach b'shishim klokim, would be relevant in this case as well. And our Gemara now begins that Abaye himself now tells us Rabbi Yisrael Glili Rabbi Shmuel Amru Dava Echad, that this sheet that we just mentioned for Rabbi Yisrael Glili, that we have to take into account the future growth potential of the chazes, and Rabbi Shmuel, who we'll see in a moment, both say a similar idea. As Rabbi Yisrael Glili heard Amarn, Rabbi Yisrael Glili is exactly what we just stated, that we have to look at the chazes based on its future potential growth. And Rabbi Shmuel, and where do we see the Rabbi Shmuel hold a similar idea as the Rabbi Yisrael Glili? The Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, which we spoke about in great detail on Daf Vav and Beis, the Pasuk of Pashim Mishpatim says, Ki yavi ish soda ikarim v'shilachas be'ira yubiya b'stei achar meitav sedeo meitav kama yishalim. And we had a machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. And as the Brisa tells us, meitav sedeo shel nizik u'meitav kama shel nizik divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel learns that we look at the best of the soda Nizik and the best of the vineyard of the Nizik, and the Gemara will explain what Rabbi Shmuel means in a moment. And Rabbi Kiva states, and the Torah is teaching you that once you know how much Bezdin will be Mechayiv the Mazik to pay to the Nizik, and for example, if Bezdin decides that Reuven's Chayiv to pay Shimon $1,000 and Reuven doesn't have money, or Reuven decides to pay Shimon with Kaka, then the Torah is Mechadish to us that Reuven has various different grades of Sadeis, then Reuven has to give the best of his sadeis, and if he has idias, benis, and zibayis, then Reuven would be chayiv to pay off his chayiv using idias. And even though generally we say shav kasef kasef, however, by the gay of the din of hezek, we say that he has to pay him in idias. And Abaye continues with his raya as v'loy teimik Rav Ida ba'Avin, and don't explain the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel like Rav Ida ba'Avin tried to explain on that vavam beis the Rav Ida ba'Avin, as Rav Ida ba'Avin taught us kagoyin she'achla ruga bein harugais, that the din of Rabbi Shmuel may be in a case where Reuven's animal ate from a row of grain that was situated in a large field that had multiple different rows of grains that were various different types of quality. And we aren't certain if Reuven's animal ate from the better quality of Shimon's grain or it ate from the schwacher quality of Shimon's grain, and therefore we're not sure how much Reuven should pay back to Shimon. The chiddush of Rabbi Shmuel is that meitiv sidur shel nizik or meitiv kami shel nizik, and as the Gemara says, that mina lei that we tell Reuven hum shlim shmeid b'meitiv de'ikah hashtar, that you have to pay based on the best quality of Shimon's field that he has at this moment. And Abai explains that certainly this can't be pshat in Rabbi Shmuel. The hachi lo amrinan, as certainly we not tell Reuven that he has to pay based on the best quality of Shimon's field that he has right now. As my timer hamoitzi mechaveh al braya, that certainly we have a klal. If Shimon is trying to be moitzi from Reuven, then he has to bring a raya, and therefore the only way that Shimon could collect from meitav aretz is only if he brought a raya. Reuven's animal ate from that type of quality and from grade A produce. Therefore, Abai explains what Rabbi Shmuel was really telling us is al b'meitav de la kamei u'mayniu kehech desolik, that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that in chenami, certainly we knew exactly what type of grade truah that Reuven's animal ate, and now the shaila is how much should Reuven pay? And Rabbi Shmuel is teaching us that meitav sedeo shel nizik u'meitav kamei shel nizik, that we look at the rest of the produce of the field of nizik and we see how much growth it has in the future. Then, just like Rabbi Yisrael Glila taught us, Rabbi Shmuel is also teaching us that although Reuven's animal only ate from Shimon grain which was not fully grown, even so we would wait until the time of the harvest, and at that point we would determine how much Reuven is chayv to pay Shimon based on the full growth potential of the rest of the grain that was still in Shimon's field. And it's important to note that in the Gemara in Daf Vavam and Beis, the Gemara did not come out with this pshat, and the Gemara actually came out that the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is not as to how much Reuven would have to pay to Shimon. And the machlekes is that once we determine how much Reuven is chayv to pay to Shimon, now that Reuven knows how much he is chayv to Shimon and he wants to pay that amount from his own kaka, then the question is, how do you determine what grade kaka Reuven would have to pay? And according to Rabbi Shmuel, we'd look at the best fields of the nizik and Reuven would have to pay based on the best fields of the nizik. And Rabbi Kiva responds to Rabbi Shmuel that loy bar kasav aligvus l'nizakim and idis v'kavachay melegdish, that both benegei hezik and benegei didin of hegdish, that the mazik has to pay based on his own idis, and even if his idis is better than the nizik's idis, he would still have to pay from his best idis. And ayin teizid dinu maschel my niu kehich desolik, where he points out that it's mashma from Agamara that a buyer holds that the machlek is between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is relevant to how much the mazik would have to pay. And as Abaye says over here, Rabbi Shmuel holds that needed a mishuyah, meaning that Reuven would have to pay not only based on what his animal ate, but we would also need to take into account how much the value of that tefuah and of that grain would eventually be worth. And Rabbeinu Tam asks that Lamaisa on Dav Zayin and Aleph, we see that the Gemara says that the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is if the nizik sheminon or the mazik sheminon. And as we explained, it seems that there is no question as to how much value the mazik has to pay to nizik, and just a question as to where he would have to pay from. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, the mazik would have to pay based on the best kaka that the nizik has, and Rabbi Kiva would hold that you have to pay based on the best kaka that the mazik has. And as Tezis points out, that Abaye himself in Masechtas Gittin on Daf Mem Chesam Beis clearly holds that the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is if shamina b'de nizik or b'de mazik, and therefore how could Abaye say in Agamara that Rabbi Shmuel holds that needed a meshuyah shabai? And Ayin Tezis points out mikol mokon mashmalei labaye the meshuyah nami pligi, that Abaye felt based on the diik that he has from the lashon of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are being chaylik on two different dinim. Number one, that being chaylik how much the mazik has to pay, as Rabbi Shmuel holds that needed a meshuyah shabai, and Rabbi Kiva argues on Rabbi Shmuel. And number two is machlekes that once the mazik wants to pay from his kaka, does he have to pay based on the idis of the nizik, and that is the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, or like Rabbi Kiva holds that you pay based on the idis of the mazik. And Ayin Tesis, who explains clearly what a bias deik is from the lashon of Rabbi Kiva and Ayin Sham. Before we continue, let's just point out that a bias stated Rabbi Yisrael Glili Rabbi Shmuel Amru Dava Echad, and Mefarshim is that in the brisa that we originally had, we also saw that there was a question as to a case where Reuven's animal damaged Shimon by eating smada, which were unripened grapes. And right at the top of Daf Nun Tesis Aleph, if we saw machlekes between Rabbi Shua and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shua imer roin oisa kiluin anavim oimnis libatza, and Chachamim roin kam oisa yafa v'kam yafa. Rabbi Shua is also saying that we look at the smada as if they were fully grown grapes, and if so, Abaye shouldn't have only said Rabbi Yisrael Glili v'Rabbi Shmuel Amru Dava Echad, and he should have said Rabbi Yisrael Glili v'Rabbi Shua v'Rabbi Shmuel Amru Dava Echad. And just to keep in mind that although it seems that the sheet of Rabbi Yisrael Glili b'negei chazis and the sheet of Rabbi Shua b'negei smada seem to be exactly the same sheet, and just Rabbi Yisrael Glili is talking about chazis, which is talking about tefuah, and Rabbi Shua is talking about a grape product called smada. However, Ayin and Taisis at the top of Daf Nun Tesis Aleph, who is mechalik, as we mentioned beforehand, is although if you're Rabbi Yisrael Glili, if the rest of the tefuah of this field would be destroyed, then Reuven may not not have to pay anything to Shimon, because then we saw that the chazas wouldn't have been worth anything. However, b'negeis smada, we would not say that as we look at each grape individually. And as Taisa said, v'afilim niskal cham shiaras, that even if the rest of the vineyard would be destroyed, mishalom kanavim ha'im dislibatza, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, Reuven would still have to pay based on grapes that are im dislibatza. And as Taisa continues, v'dafka b'smada, that is specifically b'negeis smada, da'anavim pam she'ilu niskal cham ve'ilu nitzalim, that even though in one vineyard you could have certain parts of the vineyard that could be completely destroyed, and some are saved, l'fikach eni dayim b'shuria, avot tfuah regil l'skalkel kul yachad. But in the case of Beis Yed Levi, since he's talking about chazes, and the standard is that if one part of the sada will be destroyed, then the rest of the sada will likely be destroyed as well. And therefore, according to Beis Yed Levi, b'negei chazes, you would not be chayiv to pay if the rest of the field was completely destroyed. And ayin sham and taisis as to what Rabbi Shua may hold b'negei the case of chazes, if he would agree to Rabbi Yisrael Levi, or in the case of chazes, he may actually agree to the chachamim and argue on Rabbi Yisrael Levi, ayin sham. And the Gemara continues, amamar, that we stayed in the Braisa, and we just mentioned at the top of the Amid that the Braisa spoke about smada, and we saw a machlekes between Rabbi Shua and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shua said, and our Gemara now continues and quotes from the next part of the Braisa, as Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said over the name of Shimon, when do we say, like the Chachamim, that Rain kama isiyafa v'kami yafa, that is only that the animal damaged grapes or figs at its earliest stage, which is called lovi gufanim and yichuri tainim. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda continued, aval achla pagam oy beisa, however, if the animal ate pagam oy beisa, and as we explained from Rashi, that pagam are referring to figs at the latest stage before it's fully ripened, and beisa is also referring to grapes at its latest stage before it's fully ripened. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda teaches us that in that case, I argue and chum, and I say that you have to look at them as if they were fully grown grapes. Before we continue with the Gemara's Diak, let's just point out that there are actually three different stages of a grape and a fig's development. The earliest stage is when it's called Ulavi Gefanim and Yichur Tainim, when just starting to bud. Afterwards, it goes to a stage called Smadar, and then figs at its latest stage is called Pagim, and grapes are called Baisa at its latest stage. And keep in mind that Rabbi Shua already discussed the Din of Smadar, which is the middle stage of grapes, and Rabbi Shua felt that even at this middle stage, when this grape is not fully ripened, we're still going to be ready to send Kiluhein Anavim Imdisli Batsa. Now we certainly see that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda agreed to Chamim and seemed to agree to Rabbi Shua in a case where the grapes and the figs are only at the stage of Lavi Gufanim and Yechur Tainim, then certainly all agree that Raiden Kabah Hisiyafa Vakami Yafa. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda teaches us that B'negei Pagam and Baisa, at that point, we would be ready to send Kiluhein Anavim Imdisli Batsa. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda doesn't discuss what his Shita is regarding Smadar. Therefore, our Gemara is now Medayik from the Lashon Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, that he said that the only time that we say that Rain Kama Yisiyafa V'Kama Yafa is only by Lulavi Gufanim and Yichur Yitainim. It will be mashma from the words of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, HaSmada Rain Yisikil HaNavim Oynus Libatza, but once it would be at a stage of Smada, which is the middle stage of the development of a grape, then he would agree to Rabbi Shua that we Rain Yisikil HaNavim Oynus Libatza, and then Ema Sefer, but let's see the Sefer of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, that he says, Achla Pagmai Baisa, Hu Du Rain Yisikil HaNavim Oynus Libatza, that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda only tells us that B'negei Pagmai Baisa, Hu Rain Yisikil HaNavim Oynus Libatza, and it's mashma that the only reason Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said that Pagma Baisa would be Reina Isa Kila Novim Oynusli Batza is because then the latest stage of development and they're so close to being a full fledged Piri. And from this part of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's statement, it's mashma that it would be Smada Reina Isa Kama Yiyafa Vakama Yisiyafa, that if it would be in the middle stage of development and it would be still Smada, there would still be Reina Isa Kama Yiyafa Vakama Yisiyafa, and he would agree to the Chamim and not like Rabbi Shua, and therefore we can't be sure as to what Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds, but the gay is Smada, as in the Rashi's mashma he agrees with Rabbi Shua, and the Sefer of the words of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, it's mashman he would agree with the Chachamim. And the Gemara continues, Amar Ravina, Ravina states, Karach V'Tani, let's wrap Smada into the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and the way that we understand Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is as follows, V'med V'mum, B'zman Sha'achlu Lavi G'fanu V'chu Yotainim, we only agree to the Chachamim as well as to Rabbi Shua, that you'd be raying Kam Ha'isiyafa V'kam Yafa, a case where Reuven's animal ate these Lavi G'fanu V'chu Yotainim, which is the earliest stage of a grape and fig's development, and in that case we would say that it's so young, therefore it's raying Kam Ha'isiyafa V'kam Yafa. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda continues, "Aval ochla smada pagan oy baisa roin oisikil anavim oynus libatza." That in the chenami he included the din of smada together with pagan and baisa, and it doesn't make a difference if the grape is in the second stage and the middle stage of development, or in the latest stage of development of pagan and baisa. In either case, we'd be roin oisikil anavim oynus libatza, and in the case of figs, we'd be roin oisikil ki ilu teinim oynus libatza. And the Gemara now asks, "Ihachi, if you're going to explain the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in this manner, then Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Heinu Rabbi Shua, Shua, and l'chayyur, the shita Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is exactly the same shita as Rabbi Shua, because Rabbi Shua stated that ochlis smada roin oisan kilu hein anavim oindusli batzah, and certainly if he holds b'degei smada, which is a middle stage, that roin oisan kilu hein anavim oindusli batzah, then certainly he'd agree b'degei pagron b'isa that he'd be roin oisan kilu hein anavim oindusli batzah, and therefore there seems to be no chiluk between Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbi Shua. And the Gemara answers that in the chenami, generally the shita Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbi Shua are identical. However, v'ikar benau, there is an afkamina between the shitas in the case of kachash gufna v'loy misaimi. And Rashi explains that the concept of kachash gufna is that we know by leaving grapes on a tree for a longer period of time, then it actually weakens the vine and it causes the vine to become less valuable. Therefore, when we tell Reuven that you have to pay for the full grape because it's at the stage of smada, Reuven will respond that it's true that I should have to pay for the full grape, but ultimately, if Shimon would have kept the grape on this vine, it would have weakened the vine and would have caused Shimon some loss of value of the vine. And therefore, when determining how much I owe Shimon for the amount I was mazikim, we have to take into account the value that he lost, but we also have to take into account the value that he gained based on the fact that the vine is now worth more money than if the grape would have stayed on the vine until it actually fully ripened. Basically, we have to look at a full profit and loss statement and understand what the actual loss that Shimon had based on the fact that Reuben's animal ate his grapes while it was in the stage of smudder, and therefore he actually had a loss of his grapes, but ultimately he had some sort of gain because his vines didn't weaken. Gemara tells us, "V'lo misaimi," and we're uncertain if Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda or Rabbi Shua is the man that holds that we have to take into account kachash guvno. And Abaye Oma, however, Abaye says that misaimi umisaimi, that we certainly do know which man Oma holds which shita, as man tana the chayish lo kachash guvno Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and certainly Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is the man Oma that says that we have to take into account the full picture, and therefore, as Rashi states, that he have to take into account l'nakas ben atashlum and mashiach chishu hanovim begufanim im yam nisham at habatzer. As we know, if the grapes would have remained on the vine until the time of the harvest, shetamid yonkin lachluach hagefen, as continuously is drawing out moistness of the vine, and therefore it's ruining the vine. Abaye continues that how do I know Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is the man d'omer that is chayish l'kachash kufno? As the Tanya is willing to the brisa in Masechtas Ksubas b'negei the din of anusa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda im Shimon ben Shimon ben Menasya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda taught us the name of Shimon ben Menasya, oynis in mishalem tzitzar, that as we know, if a man is ba'anes a woman, then certainly he has to pay for nezek, ripu, shevis, and boishes. However, zok Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, that he doesn't have to pay for her tzar. And the reason is that even though, of course, anusa is a besula, and by losing her besulim, she definitely had a lot of pain. However, in pleshet seferli tzar tachas baila, ultimately she would have had that pain in any case when she would have had beer with her husband, and therefore the man that was ba'anes her doesn't have to pay for her tzar of losing her besulim. However, as the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubas, certainly Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda would agree that based on the fact that this man threw her on the ground and it was chibur kaka, and that would cause a tzar as well, that certainly he would still have to pay her for that tzar, and certainly that is not a tzar that she would have experienced from her husband's bia. And the Gemara continues, Amru Loi, the Chum responded back to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda that although we agree with Yisvara, they always have to take into account if the person who had a hezek would have had this tzar in any case, or like the case in Arsugya, that the nizik actually saved some money based on the fact that his vineyard and his vines did not get weaker. And certainly you generally have to take into account the full picture. However, specifically b'negei the case of anusa in the daim nivelos baratzin and nivelos boynis, certainly the one that was ma'anisa has to pay for a tzar, as there's certainly going to be a difference between a person who had bia baratzin and a person who had bia boynis. Therefore, they hold that the person who was ma'anisa not only has to pay for chibur kaka, but he would also have to pay her for the tzar bia, and certainly her tzar bia was worse based on the fact that he was ma'anisa as compared to someone having bia with her when it's baratzin. And ma'maisa by a brood of raya from the brisa that we had in Masechtas Ksubas been a gay anusa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is the one that's chayish l'kachash kufno, and as Rashi says, she's soifel itzar alma menachem and teshlum and kefi masha sidu l'hachish. Ayin teizes dino maschol man tana de chayish l'kachash kufno Rabbi Shimon he, that he points out that even though Abaye is being arrived from this brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds kachash kufno, he's not saying that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and the chum in this brisa are arguing with the gay kachash kufno, and as we explain, even Rabbanon agreed to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda that we generally would have to take into account kachash kufno, and he just pointed out that as to machlekes between Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda and Rabbi Shua, if we had to say which is the mandama that holds of the concept of kachash kufno, then certainly we could bring a raya from this brisa that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is the mandama who holds kachash kufno, and Rabbi Shua would argue Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda but the gay kachash kufno. Ayin in Taisa dino maskel Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda hain Rabbi Shua, and Taisa says that l'chira, why did Ravina say that karach v'tanoi, and it must be that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds like Rabbi Shua? He said that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds the same din b'degei smada as he holds b'degei pagan b'isa. Maybe we should be karach v'tanoi, and we say that smada should go together with l'lavi gafanim and yichur yitainim, and would actually come out Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same din as the chachamim. And Ayin and Taisis, how he explains our Gemara, and our Gemara continues, Amar Abaya, Abaya states, Hani Tanoi, Rab Shimon ben Yehuda, Amru Dabar Echad, Rab Shimon ben Yehuda, that we just saw, B'negei Kachash Gufna, and the following Tanoim that we will bring down in a moment, all hold of the concept of Kachash Gufna. And the Gemara explains, Rab Shimon ben Yehuda, Hod Amaran, Rab Shimon ben Yehuda, is what we just brought down, number one, from the Brisa and Mesechet Ksubas, and from our Gemara, and Hani Tanoi Mai, and where do we find other Tanoim that agree to the Svar Rab Shimon ben Yehuda? The Tani, as we learned in the Brisa, and this Brisa is discussing then, where Reuben was fighting with Shimon, and Reuben hits a woman, and he causes her to miscarry, and as we already learned, the din is that Reuben has to pay the value of the vladays to the father of this child, and he has to pay the domain nezek to the woman that he hurt. And the Braisa tells us, Rabbi Yisi says, Nakechaya, when determining how much Reuben has to pay for the domain vladays, we have to take into account, and we can deduct, the amount that the husband of Rachel would have had to pay for a midwife for his wife. Ben Azay states, Nakechimizaynes, when determining how much Reuben has to pay for the domain vladays, we're allowed to deduct the extra money that the father of this child would have had to give to this woman in order that she should be able to have enough food while she's pregnant. Therefore, we see both according to Rabbi Yisi and Ben Azai that you don't just pay the full value of the domain vladays, but we have to take into account other considerations as well, and you have to look at the full picture, and you have to look at the full P&L. And Rashi explains, Nakhei chayom b'dmei vladays kamari d'menakaloi mashabal osad litein b'skar me'aledes. And Rashi says, Nakhei mezaynis shu tzarek lehisav al mezaynis ishtoi b'meke shuwea v'hashta in kishui. And at this point, since she miscarried, therefore she won't be eating more during her period of pregnancy. Therefore, the husband will save money, and therefore the mazik could deduct that amount. And as Rashi says, Alma mankina mashu asad lahoitzi. The Gemara explains the machlekes between Rabbi Yisi and Ben Azay, mandam and a kechaya koshkin and kemezainis, according to Rabbi Yisi, who says that we take into account the amount of expenses for a midwife, then certainly we would take into account the amount of money that the husband saved on mezainis. However, mandam and a kemezainis, according to Ben Azay, who says that we take into account the amount of money that the husband saved on food, but we don't take into account the amount of money that the husband saved on a midwife. The amalei, as the husband would say to the mazik, that my wife is an expert at giving birth and she doesn't need a midwife, and therefore I wouldn't have had that expense. And Mepharshim point out that even though the Gemara in Masechta Sota and Afud Alham Beis, the Gemara says that even a chaya needs her own chaya, however, our Gemara means that the husband will tell the mazik that although it's true that my wife needs a midwife, but because she's an expert at giving birth, she doesn't have to hire someone, and she could just ask a neighbor to come and help her, and that would suffice, and therefore wouldn't have cost me any money. And before we continue, Rashi points out that the Maisa, we also take into account the following, that at this point, since this woman miscarried without the help and without the assistance of a midwife, therefore, by the fact that this woman had more hezek and had more tzar, based on the fact that she had to give birth and she had a miscarriage without the use of a midwife, and certainly we wouldn't have to pay for her nezek and her tzar, and that's included in the money that the wife would receive, ayin Rashi. And the Gemara continues, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, Ovid, Ovid, Kavasir, Rav Nachman, Shishim, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, they passed in like Rav Nachman, they even required that we evaluate the hezek caused by the Niske Adam, B'Shishim, and they didn't pass in like the Reish Galusa and like Rava, who stated that in the case with the Niske Adam, then you would actually have to pay for the full hezek. And for example, in the case that we had, where a person was mazik one out of three trees, and all three trees were worth $100, that the Reish Galusa and Rava said that you would have to pay 33 and a third dollars. And of course, as we saw, Rav Nachman as well as Abaya argued on that point. And the Gemara continues, Lishnachrona, we have another version, and the Mepharshim explained that there is no difference between this version and the prior version, and the only question is if there was an actual story where they passed in this way. And Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Shamu Dikla, Agav Katina Da'ara, that when there was a problem, there was a hezek where someone was mazik the dekel on the palm tree of their friend, then they evaluated the dekel based on a small parcel of land, and the Mepharshim explained that this means that they used the method of Shishim. And the Gemara continues, V'hilchas Kavasir, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, B'dikla Da'amar, that would pass in like Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, in the case of an Armenian palm tree. And as the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, that Tamar and Ramheim, the Amos Bashlis Yafa, and in that case, they made a determination based on the Cheshbin of Shishim. However, V'hilchas Kavasir, Reish Galusa, B'dikla Pasa, and we pass in like the Reish Galusa, that we look at each individual tree, and we don't make a Cheshbin based on Shishim in the case of a Persian palm tree, as that tree is considered an expensive and very valuable tree, and therefore it's valuated on its own merit, since it's generally sold as an individual tree and not sold together with its land. And if we now go back to the bottom Taisa on the Tufnu Chesam Beis, Taisa says the Don Din Pasah Yesh Mefashim Shel Deka Pasah, that this din that the Reish Galusa said is specifically Benegei or Deka Pasah. And as our Gemara just ended, V'Hilchas Gavaster Reish Galusa B'Dikla Pasah, we learned our Gemara like Rashi that Dikla Pasah Choshev Hu Ma'ayid V'Nishim B'Fnei Atzmai. However, the Shita Kubetzes brings from Rabbeinu Yonason exactly the opposite, that Dikla Pasa in Choshev Kolkach, the Mahinishim Agav Soda, at the Mafsis Sanizik, Lefikar Shomer Isabifni Atzboy, Shaloy Hechoyti Nisra, Ayin Shom. And the Rosh explains this a bit differently, that Dikla Pasa is a Dekel Shinigma Giduloy, it's a palm tree that's very mature, and Shem Yaku, if you go and rip it out, Vishtals B'makam Acher, and now you go and you replant it somewhere else, Yiskayim, it'll still survive. Hilkach Havi Kapiris Gemurin, Vishomer Isabifni Atzboy, Kerab Shimon, and therefore we determine that's considered like Peiris Gemurin, and we will be Shaman Isa B'fnei Atzmai, like the Shita of Rab Shimon. The Gemara continues with the story, Eliezer Ze'ira, there was a person in Eliezer Ze'ira, and we continue on Daphne Testament Bays, Havasayim Misani Uchme V'koy B'shukin Adar, and he was wearing black shoes, or as Taisa says, he had black shoelaces, and he was standing in the marketplace in Adar, and Rashi says, this was a Minig Avelim, and Ashkechu Rebbe Rish Kulusa, and the people that worked for the Rish Kulusa found him, V'omalei, and they said, Maishno Hani Misani, why are you wearing these shoes? Amaluni said, even though I'm not a novel, I'm still being misabal Yushlaim. Amulay said, the people of Reish Klusa's house said to him, Atka Shivislas Ubilu Yushlaim, do you think so chashev that you could be misabal Bifahesia on Yushlaim? Savihuru, and they thought that he was actually acting as a Balgaiva and Stu Vachashu, so they took him and they put him to jail. Abulu Gavrabana, and he said to them that I really do have a right to be misabal Yushlaim because I am a Gavraba. Amulay Minoyadinan, how do we know and how could we determine that you're Gavraba? And Amaluhu, so he responded to them, that either you could ask a question from me, or I could ask a question to you in order to prove my status. Amule, so they said to him, you ask us a question. Amaluhu, so he asked them, hi man, the cuts kufra, if Reuven cut and destroyed the budding dates of his friend, my Mishalim, how do you determine how much Reuven should have to pay? Amule, they responded, Mishalim, to make kufra, let him pay the amount that the kufra is worth, and therefore you have to pay based on the budding dates. And Ayin Rashi, who says that kufra Tomorrow is Kibbeisa Banovim, that the stage called Kufra by dates is the same stage as Boisa by grapes. And the workers of the Reish Galusa said that to make Kufra, you have to pay to make Kufra. And Rashi says, in the Klum, Limacha Achshav, that right now there is no value as you can't sell Kufra in the Shuk. The Gemara tells us that Eliezer's ear turned to them and said, Vahavi Tamri, that Lemaisa, these dates will turn into full fledged dates, and therefore, how can you say they're not going to pay anything? And Amalei, so Mishalim to make Tamri, so the people of Reish Galusa's house said, so therefore they should pay the value of dates. Amalehu, but Eliezer said to them, "V'alav Tami Shakel Minai Lemaisa." He didn't take dates from them, and he only ate kufrim. And after, well, how can you be mechayvim to pay the full value of tamarim? Finally, Amulei, the people of Reish Galusa's house said to Eliezer Ze'ira, "Emulon at, you tell us what the halacha is." Amulehu, so Eliezer Ze'ira said to them, "B'shishim, I hold like the chum that said Royin Kamay Siyafa V'Kami Yafa, and we make an evaluation based on shishim, as we explained previously." And Rashi says, "When you make an evaluation of b'shishim imakaka together with its kaka, the achol b'chal." Then you take into account all the various situations and the various variables. Shakoina kaka b'perusa, as if someone buys kaka together with its perus, doesn't end up b'shvach shel achazman. And certainly, when evaluating and determining the price for the sada, they definitely take into account the fact that they already have perus that are growing there. And they certainly take into account the ultimate value of these perus, and therefore, it is the easiest way to determine the true value of the loss that Shimon incurred. The Gemara states, Amulei, so they said to him, "Man amakavaseich, who holds like you?" Amulei said to them, Shmuel is alive and his Bezdin is still around, and therefore if you're unsure if I'm saying the right halacha, go and ask Shmuel. Shadu kamei to Shmuel, so they sent the shayla in front of Shmuel. Amalu, Shmuel responded to them, Shapa kamluchu, he told you the right pshat and the right din, b'shishim, that the din is b'shishim, v'shavku, and therefore they left him, and they realized Eliezer is a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he had a right to be misabal Yishlaim and to wear shoes with black shoelaces. And let's see the top tesis on the Afton Testament base, where Tesis says, Havasai misani uchme, mashma shloi regilim b'menolim shcharin. It's mashma that they would not wear black shoes, and he was wearing black shoes. V'chei mashma b'seid t'aynes elu d'koma ad'hochi osahu gavir d'sayim misani uchbi v'lo yomar mi'chutrimi k'dei shle akir by shiudi. And therefore we see that Jews would not wear black shoes, and t'aynes v'teima, as in Masechet Be'er we learn in the Mishnah, eim eshachem and all love miyotim p'teishet tzarek b'tzager l'shchirai, that one is not allowed to send white shoes to his friend, because in order for him to have to wear it, he'll have to go and blacken it, and that can't be done in yontiv, and it's mashma sh'lehinolun el'shachar, and therefore it's mashma that they only would wear black shoes, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam says that generally the shoes were black, but the shoelaces were white. And over here, Enem Masechtas Tainis would talk about shoes as well as the Ritzuis, which were all black. And he says, "Va'veilus Eliezer hoi kizesh hoi love shcharim u'miskash shcharim v'hoi rotzi shafila Ritzuis yishcharim." And he wanted to make sure that even the shoelaces were black. Shlo yehalav klal tzadlo dainis mepechi basa shel yishlayim. The Gemara continues and goes back to the Mishnah on Daftun Hayam Beis and quotes that Rab Shimon Oimer Ochle Peres Gemur. Shalom is Paris Gemur. Gemurim, im sasayim, then when the Mishnah is Ketzah Mishalem's Masha Zeka, and the Tanakhama said, Shom Beisah, but Isah, the Kama is Yafa, the Kama Yafa, Rabbi Shimon said that if the animal ate Paris Gemurim, then Reuven would be chayiv to pay for the damages based on Paris Gemurim. And the Gemara begins that certainly Rabbi Shimon agrees to the Tanakhama, that in the case where these Paris are not fully ripe, then certainly you'd have to make a determination based on Shishim, and L'chir, therefore he must learn that from the Pasuk of Beer Bisteacha, and if so, why does he say that the din would change once it's Paris Gemurim? And the Gemara is my timer, and the Gemara answers, Hodar Rachmona Ubiya Bisteacha, Milam Shisham al Gavisada, that even though Rav Shimon agrees to the concept and to the din of Ubiya Bisteacha, which teaches us that when you're evaluating the damages, you have to evaluate it based on a full Sada, Han immediately meet the Tzarachal Sada, but this Xeris HaKasav was only stated on Paris and on Tfuah that are still required to be attached to the ground. However, Hani, once you have Paris Gemurim, Kimin Leitzrich Lesada, since these Paris are no longer required to be attached to the ground, but in Ayu Bayu Shlumei, they have to pay for the full value of the Paris. And Ayinu Mefarshim discussed that the Shita of Rav Shimon that we had in our Mishnah is not the same Shita as the Shita that we had in the Brisa on the afternoon test of Dalav of Rav Shimon Ben Yehuda that said over the name of Rav Shimon that B'med Rumim is Man Shachal Lavi Kafan Vichuritainim, Ava Achal Pagamai Baisa, Roin Isikil Anavim Imdis Rabatza, and Ayin Shom as to the Chilip between these two Shitas. The Gemara continues, Amr Rav Huna Baruchia, Amr Rav Yemi Ba'aba, Don Rav Karameu, Pasuk Hilchas Rav Shimon, that although generally Rav would want to Paskin like the Rabbim, however, in these two cases, he Paskin like a Yochid. And when the Gemara says Don Rav Karameu, it means he actually Paskin Halacha L'maisa in an actual story like Rabbeya. And when it says Pasuk Hilchas Rav Shimon, Rashi says that Klima Limud L'Talmidim Shalach Rav Shimon Halacha Psuk L'Dayrus, they taught his Talmidim based on Halacha, but it wasn't actually based on Halacha L'maisa that actually occurred. And the Gemara continues and explains Don Rav Karameu, in what case did Rav judge like the Din of Rameya? The Tanya we learned to the Brisa, and let's point out that the Brisa is talking about a case that Reuven's married to Rachel, and of course, at the time that Reuven marries Rachel, he owes her for a ksuba, and therefore, all his kaka is now meshubed to ksuba of Rachel. Now, if Reuven goes and sells one parcel of land to Shimon, and at that time, he didn't ask for permission from his wife Rachel, and Lameisa at that time, Reuven still had other parcels of land, and therefore, there was no problem really with Reuven selling this land, as there was no lien against that land, since Rachel still had where to collect the ksuba from, and even if Reuven would now go and sell the second parcel of land that he has, Rachel would now have to go and collect from the second land before she goes and collects from the first land. And then Reuven went and sold his second parcel of land, and for example, he sold it to Levi. Prior to Reuven doing so, he actually went over to his wife Rachel and asked her permission, and she granted him permission, and some say she even signed on the deed, and she agreed that she no longer has a lien against this property for her ksuba. And therefore, the Brisa teaches us that if Reuven sold a piece of land to Shimon, and Rachel did not sign off on that sale, v'sheni v'chasbalai, but then Reuven sold the second piece of land to Levi, and on that piece of land, Rachel agreed, and she even signed of the ksubasa de v'rameya. So Rameya holds that if Reuven now divorces Rachel, or Reuven dies, and now Rachel comes to collect the ksuba, and Reuven doesn't have any money, so then Rachel can't go and collect from either parcel of land, and certainly she doesn't have a lien on the first sada, because at the point that Reuven sold that sada, Reuven still had another sada, and Rachel doesn't have a lien on the second sada either, because Rachel released her lien that she had on the second sada. And as Rashi Masechta Ksuba states of the Ksubasa, Im Ein Shom Bnei Chayrin Sharei Rishon Eimer Hanachti Lach Makom Likvay Simenu, and therefore she can't collect from the first sada, and certainly she can't collect from the second sada because she released her lien. However, Rabbi Huda argues on Rameya, and he stated Yecholi Shetaima that Rachel could say Nachas Ruach Hasisal Baili, that the reason why I signed off on the second sale was because my husband asked me to, but really I was just trying to be nice to him, but really I didn't want to give up my rights, and therefore you have no right to come against me and to claim that I don't have any lien, and certainly I still have a lien against the second sada, and I collect my ksuba from the second sada. And Rashi explains that Abaya argues on Rava, and he holds, and if so, Rachel should have agreed even by the first sada. It must be that the reason why Rachel actually signed onto the deed is because certainly at that time she agreed with her husband to sell the land and to release the lien, as they would get a better price for the land if they sold it unencumbered. For example, at that time they were happily married, and therefore certainly Rachel would have wanted to get the best price, and that's why she agreed to release the lien on this property. And the Gemara tells us Rav Huna Baruchia and Rabbi Yemi Ba'aba told us that Don Rav Karameya, that in this case Rav Paskin Halacha L'maisa like Rameya. And the Gemara continues with Pasuk Hilchos Rav Shimon, and Rav told his Talmidim that L'deirus who we should Paskin like Rav Shimon, ki hada tan, like we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Oima Achol Peres Gemurim Mishalem is Peres Gemurim Im Sasa Im Sasayim Sasayim. Ayin Tesis brings for Rabbeinu Chananel that this Psak Halacha actually has other other ramifications, as we learned in Masechet Ksubos, that kol ha'imis ligazes kegazes dami is la'in ba'chayiv lo tarflu, in which we have an afkamina b'negei ba'chayiv that he doesn't collect from anything which is oimi ligazes. That din is also based on this psak halacha, like Rav Shimon, that achal peres kemurim is mishalemes peres kemurim. And before we continue with the next mishnah, let's remember that we had a mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, which brought a few different cases, and one of the cases which was at the bottom of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph stated hichlis peres of the chutzah ba'al bayis shaloi b'rishus. If Ruvin brings his peres into the chutzah of the ba'al bayis and he does so without rishus and he trespasses v'chalsam behemti shel ba'al bayis, and the ba'al bayis animal eats these peres, then pata, then certainly the ba'al bayis is pata. However, v'mhusku behen, if the animal of the ba'al bayis actually slips on these peres and gets damaged, then the ba'al peres is chayiv v'mhichlis b'rishus ba'al chutzah chayiv. However, if Ruvin brought these peres into the rishus of Shimon and he did so with permission, then Shimon will be chayiv for any damages that occurred to the peres. And the Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis ends off by bringing the sheet of Rabbi, that Rabbi Omer bekulin ein chayiv atchi kabel of Baal HaBayis lishmar, that even if the Baal HaBayis gave permission to Reuven to bring his peres into his chatzah, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Baal HaBayis was bekabel himself to guard and make sure that Reuven's peres do not get damaged, unless the Baal HaBayis specifies that I'm also bekabel on myself to guard your peres and to make sure that they are not damaged, and the Baal HaBayis would not be chayiv if his animal ultimately damages the peres of Reuven. And as the Gemara states, the Rebbe hold that kol bestama loy kabel an terusa. However, the Chacham argue on Rebbe, and they hold that kol bestama kabel an terusa, that even if the Baal HaBayis just tells Reuven that he could bring his peers into his chatzah, it's as if the Baal HaBayis told Reuven that I will be responsible if anything happens to your peers, and if the animal of the Baal HaBayis eats the peers of Reuven, then the Baal HaBayis will be chayiv. And as we will see, our Mishnah seems to be a repeat of that Mishnah, and our Mishnah begins, Hamagdish b'seich stei chaveri, if Reuven is piling up his tefuah in the sod of Shimon, shaloi b'rishus, and he does so without the rishus of Shimon, and he trespasses onto the rishus of Shimon, v'achlasam behemtei shel ba'al sada, Shimon's animal eats the tefuah of Reuven, so pata, so certainly Shimon will be pata, as Reuven had no permission to bring this tefuah into Shimon's rishus. And the Mishnah continues, v'mhuska behen, and as Rav explained on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, if Shimon's animal slips on the tefuah of Reuven and gets damaged, then Reuven will be chayiv. And as we saw on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, that Rav holds that's only where Shimon's animal slips on the tefuah of Reuven, but if Shimon's animal eats the tefuah of Reuven and gets sick, then Reuven will not be chayiv, because Reuven will tie it to Shimon, and your animal shouldn't have eaten my tefuah, and it caused its own hezek. And our Mishnah continues, v'mhigdish b'rishus, however Reuven piles up his tefuah in the rishus of Shimon, and he does so with permission, balasad chayiv. Oh, if Shimon's animal will now eat the peiris of Reuven, then since Shimon gave permission to Reuven to bring his peiris and bring his tefuah into his sadah, so Shimon will be chayiv. And the Gemara states, le'mitzan le'ker Rebbe, let us say our Mishnah is not going like Rebbe, the Iker Rebbe, because if it's going like Rebbe, we saw the Rebbe said on Daf Mem Zayin Beis, Atche Kabbalah Baal HaBayis Lishma, that the only time that Shimon will be chayiv is only if Shimon not only told Reuven that he could bring his peres into the Rishus, but he also had to tell Reuven that I'm a Kabbalah myself to make sure that nothing happens to your peres. And if Shimon did not state this explicitly, then Shimon Kataina, that I only told you that you have permission to bring your peres or your tefuah into my chatzah, but I did not say that I'm going to guard it, and I never accept upon myself responsibility to guard your peres. And Amar Papa, our Papa responds that really our Mishnah could be going like Rebbe as well, and Hacha ben Nata be Darya Skinon, we're talking about a guard that is hired by the people of this area to guard all of their peers together, and they all go into a sada and they pile up their peers, and there's this guard that guards it, the Kim the Amalei Ayava Gadosh, as in that case, since this is his job and this is his standard responsibility, so once he tells Reuven that you could bring your peers and your tefuah into the sada in order to pile up, Ayava Atlechahu, then certainly he meant that you could bring it in, and I will be chayiv for its shmirah, and I'll make sure to guard it properly. And therefore, since Reuven had permission from Shimon, who is hired to be the guard and guards everyone's tefuah, therefore Shimon is going to be chayiv for any damage that his animal causes to Reuven, or any damage that occurs to Reuven's produce while it's in that rishus. And as Rashi says, not to be dori shem agrada Shimon hagen hoy lasis kol bnei abikol begurin echad zegadesha v'zegadesha umanin Shimon they appointed shema uvahi afilu Rebbe Meida, and therefore Rebbe is certainly Meida that even without explicit instruction and without explicitly stating that I will watch your peiros, Shimon certainly was mekabel on himself the shmir of Reuven's peiros. And in Taisa Dilma Maschal Magdish B'Steich Steich Adaveri, that Taisa is bothered al Chari. Why do we need this mishnah if we already had the mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin? And Taisa says Istruch L'Mistei Oyl Mistama Dolei Rebbe. Either to teach us that this stam mishnah is not like Rebbe and it's going like the Chachamim, we lashmin on, or the mishnah is coming to teach us that Filu Rebbe Ma'ida B'Hak and Farsh Gemara, that as Rav Papa just taught us that in this case, since we're talking about a Nata Beidari, therefore even Rebbe agrees that once the Nata Beidari tells him to come in, then it's implicitly in implied that Shimon agreed to watch Reuven's tefillah and to make sure that nothing happens to it, and we will stop over here.